So today we are in our third week and final week of our series that we've been in, Breaking Through the Storm. Next week, we're going to start another three-week series. I just wanted to let you know this, a three-week series leading into June 8th, which is the day we're celebrating this year on the calendar year, Pentecost Sunday. This year for Pentecost Sunday, we are partnering with the national organization Baptize America, and we are hoping and dreaming to baptize several hundred people on that day, joining thousands of churches around the country. And so for the next 3 weeks, this is a really cool thing. We've never done a series like this. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the power of a day and specifically looking into the Bible on the day of Pentecost, what happened on that day. And we're going to lead into, we believe, a day of salvation and water baptism on June 8th. You guys excited for that too? I think it's going to be a really cool series, so make sure that you are here. So, Breaking Through the Storm, final week. I've titled my message today, Storm-Proofing Your Life. Storm-Proofing Your Life. When you think about storms, they come out of nowhere. And so we, as much as we can, according to scripture, need to storm-proof our lives. I don't know if you saw, it was on national news, but this last Friday night, in the middle of the night, a huge tornado hit the area in Kentucky, specifically a town called London, Kentucky. I don't know if you guys saw this, but my in-laws, Mandy's parents, live in London and pastor a church in London, and they were safe, but I mean, neighborhoods were leveled. Several families in their church lost their homes. They also have a Christian school. Families lost their homes in that Christian school. And a side note, I do want to let you know that we are contributing. We're going to be donating to the efforts to get people back on their feet with natural disasters there. But I tell you this because I talked to my father-in-law Saturday morning through texting, asking them if they were okay. And he was saying yes. And then he was telling us that they had some warning. He said, but it was just so crazy because this massive tornado, it came out of nowhere. He said, most people had enough warning to get into basements and to be safe, but he said, it's such an interesting thing how fast they come out of nowhere. And it made me think about what I was preaching on today and the importance of storm-proofing our lives. Because Jesus told us in scripture, it's not a matter of if we face storms. He said, you will face storms. And he was blunt about it. You will have trouble in this life. And then he assures us and says that, take heart, for he has overcome the world. So he says, you're going to have trouble, but at the same time, Jesus is still in charge. And so he's asked us, though, to be wise builders, to storm-proof our life, and as much as we can, to be ready, not after the storm, but before the storm. So today, what I want to do is look at the metaphor of a building or a house and how builders will build a house when storm-proofing, and then how we can build the house of our lives to last when the storms hit. So when you think about an area in our country or around the world where there are a lot of storms, tornadoes, or maybe on the Gulf Coast here in the United States where hurricanes are a normal occurrence in the fall, they don't just build normal like we would build here. The foundations are different. The walls are different. The roofs are different. The windows are different. They're building in a way where those structures can last with the huge storms when they come. And there's three specific areas of a home, if you're storm-proofing, that we've got to make sure in a regular house that they're strong to withstand the storm. Those three areas are the foundation, the walls, and the roof. And when you look at those things in an actual house, and then we apply those to our lives, we're going to see in perfect context, those are the exact three areas of our lives, the foundation, the protective walls, and the covering over our heads that God asks us to build and to be strong before the storm comes. So if you're taking notes today, we're going to go through those three areas. And I wanted to let you know up front, there's several parts of the message today where it's just going to be like, content coming at you fast, and it's going to be a lot. So if you're a normal note taker like me, if you're up for the challenge, go for it and impress me. Come up to me after service and say, I actually did it. But if you're not keeping up today, we talk to our communications team in our follow-up email tomorrow morning. We always send one at 9 a.m. on Mondays. It's a recap email. It will be very detailed. and all of the notes will be in that email if you miss anything in the message. So stay with me, and if you're not able to write, just soak it in and we'll get going. But I really believe that this practical message today, it's not super deep in what you think is deep, but it will be deep because it's simple, it's from the Word of God, and it's what God's asking us to do. So we stormproof our lives by focusing on three areas. Number one, like I mentioned, the foundation. We need to build our lives, build your life on obedience to God's word. Now, we look at that and we go, okay, I got up, got ready, got my family, drove all the way to church to hear the pastor say, build your life on God's word. I already knew that. But let me ask you this, do you do it? It's such a convicting thing when we know that part of the major way we can build a strong foundation under our feet, preparing for storms, is not just listening to God's word, but putting it into practice and building a foundation that will last. Jesus talks in a very famous passage in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 25. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, that is so important. He didn't say everyone who attends church and hears the sermon from the Bible, and that's it. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. What's the rock? What's Jesus telling us the rock is? Is the rock him? Yes. It's specifically the word. What he says is true, and also our willingness and decisions to put the truth into practice. It's not good enough to just come hear what the truth is. Jesus says that that's not going to withstand the storm. It's you hear it and put it into practice, and all of a sudden the storm doesn't stand a chance. It's all about building the right foundation. The most critical part of any structure, including your life, is what you build it on. What is your life being built on? I came across a story a couple of years ago about a lighthouse in North Carolina. It's called the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, and it's a really intriguing story. The story about this lighthouse is it was built about 100 years ago, and it was several hundred meters away from the coastline, the water line, when it was originally built. And when it was originally built, they had no problems with the foundation. The builders back then, with the latest technology, were trying to investigate underground and figure out what's the best foundation for this lighthouse. And they swung and missed on what they thought was going to be the best foundation because they chose yellow pine timber as the foundation to be laying on top, underground, but on top of the water table in anticipation of the water line never getting closer to the lighthouse. But it did. It worked its way up to where when storms would come, it would be hitting the lighthouse, and the salt water underneath increased the water table. The foundation of the yellow pine was ripping apart. It was getting moldy and falling apart, and the lighthouse began to lean, and it was crumbling. And scientists and all of the politicians in North Carolina were figuring out what they wanted to do with the lighthouse. They wanted to preserve it. It was important. It was a part of history. So they decided to preserve it, but they didn't get to go down and just reinforce the foundation. They had to anticipate the future, spend millions of dollars. And what was their solution? They had to lift the lighthouse out of the ground, and you can show the next photo, and transport the entire lighthouse 2,900 feet away from its original location. This is a massive, massive project. Years of planning, meticulous execution, millions of dollars. And it finally gets to where it is today, and you can see how far away it is from the coastline, and they're confident that this new foundation will work. But when I hear this story, this is what it reminds me of for us. I think we need to get the foundation right early on today, so in the future, it doesn't cost us more than we ever imagined if we don't get the foundation right in our lives today. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about stability. I'm talking about our marriage, our children, our homes, the future of our society. If we don't get our foundation right today, then it's going to cost us so much more in the future beyond what we could possibly imagine. We've got to get it right today. So let me ask you, how's the foundation of your life right now? What is the foundation of your life built on? And is it built to weather the storm before it hits? Jesus in Luke 6:48 said, he's talking about the people who are building correctly, and he says, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. Are you digging deep in your personal life, in your marriage, if you're married, with your family, building a foundation that will last? And he says, a wise person hears words and puts them into practice. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's really pointed. That hits me in the same way it hits you. We've got to not just listen to our word, to the word, and deceive ourselves into thinking that's good enough. We've got to put it into practice in order to build a firm foundation. And what it means is this, how it practically plays out is daily obedience. Daily obedience prepares you for sudden storms. It's the daily studying of the word of God, applying what Jesus says. That's what will prepare us. So here's what I want to do for the next few minutes before I go to the next point, is I want to show us some examples, some common examples of believers, Christians, and maybe you're somebody in the room today or at North or in Maui, you're experiencing some of these, but there's some examples of people hearing but not doing, common categories. Number one is this, listening to a sermon about forgiveness and still holding a grudge. It's a big deal. People that do this, they'll nod and say amen during a message about forgiving others, but instead of thinking about who they need to forgive, they're thinking about all the people who need to forgive them. Number two, reading about trusting God with finances, but refusing to tithe or be generous. They agree that God provides, but live in fear, hoarding resources or not trusting in God as much as they trust in money. This is hearing and doing. We're building a firm foundation, remember? Number three, studying about purity, but continuing in a secret habit or an unhealthy relationship. When in sermons, when I'm talking about sexual purity, you might be one of the people that's like, hey man, I'm so glad my pastor will talk about this. Hopefully you're proud of me. You're like, my pastor will hit the hard subjects, but then are you getting out of that sexual relationship if you're not married? Are you letting someone know that you have a porn addiction and you desperately need to escape it and get out of it? Are you hearing and not doing, or are you hearing and doing? Because we can't expect God to build the foundation for us. He's saying, I've given you the tools, let's build. Are you still with me today? All right, you talk about sex or porn and everybody gets really quiet. Number four, learning about loving your neighbor but treating people rudely online or in real life. Guys, social media, if you're a believer, if you've got Jesus in your bio, if you have Citizen Church in your bio, be nice. Be nice. Also, you wanna know, I have so many friends in all through the years and still today that are in the restaurant industry. Do you guys know the most dreaded time block of the entire week for those who work in the restaurant industry? Sunday right after church. The most dreaded time of the week. Why? Because Christians are known for not tipping and being unfriendly. I'm like, are you kidding me? That should be the time of the week that servers, restaurant owners, the restaurant industry should be looking forward to the most, because when Christians walk in, they should tip the most, they should be the most generous with their money, with their words, with kindness, and not treating servers like servants. Can I get an amen to that? We need to be the ones that set the standard everywhere we go. But with anybody, friendships, relationships, we have to do what the word of God says when it comes to loving our neighbor. Number five, memorizing scripture about anxiety, but never actually praying or surrendering worries to God. I've opened up in the past about seasons where I've struggled with anxiety, and this is one that's a lot easier said than done, but I have to challenge myself, because every time I'm battling anxiety, there's practical solutions and there's spiritual solutions. And I've got to make sure before I jump to the practical that I'm surrendering what I'm anxious about to the God that can actually help me with it. I've got to surrender it to God in prayer and go to him. Lastly, another example, number six, hearing build your house on the rock, but only running to God after the storm hits. When people that do this, there's no real daily relationship with God there's just an emergency mentality with prayer and an emergency mentality in their relationship with God. And I've seen this and I've struggled with this in my past, and I've seen so many people today in their walk with God not meaning to, but we slip into this. When things are bad in our lives, we've got a great relationship with God. When things are great in our lives, that's when we go, oh, we can miss some church, I can miss some prayer time, I can miss some Bible, I can miss my daily time with God. And we start distancing ourselves. And then when the storm comes, again, we have an emergency 911 mentality with God. And God is saying, hey, I'm not mad at you if you come to me in disasters, in the growth of your faith. But eventually we have to move from being baby Christians and we have to grow in our maturity to say, God, I'm not only going to come to you in disaster, I'm gonna also serve you, come to you on the mountaintops when everything is good so I can prepare myself for the next disaster that may come in my life. So I wanna ask you this question to ponder before we go to number two. Ask yourself this, am I digging deep or just building shallow? Are you digging deep into the foundation in God's word, applying it to our lives? Are you digging deep or is it shallow if we really were to admit it? Number two, the walls. So we have foundation number one, number two, the walls. Walls are strong daily habits that hold up in the storm. You know, when you think about a foundation of a house, after the foundation is laid, the next step is putting up strong walls. Walls in our lives, in our spiritual lives, are the daily devotions, daily decisions that we make, the daily disciplines, and daily values that we build. Our relationship with God, it is not a decade at a time, it's not months at a time, it's not weeks at a time. Our relationship with God is a daily thing. That's why Jesus says, take up your cross daily. It's a daily thing. Every single day, we're having to look at ourselves and say, what walls, protective walls, am I building today that will protect me when the next storm comes? In a house and in our lives, the truth is this, walls aren't glamorous, but they're needed. And they're built one board at a time and one nail at a time. It's not glamorous, it can be tedious, but at the same time, so it can the construction of our own character, which is the strength of the walls in our lives. Our character is built one decision, one value, one moment with God at a time. And it's our character with God's protection that will protect us when the storm hits. Proverbs 24, 3-4 says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Do you have the wisdom of God, the character of God? Colossians 2, 6-7, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built on him. The truth is this, we've got to build walls of prayer, wisdom, integrity, humility, and community. We've got to have wisdom in our lives. We've got to build walls of integrity. I wonder what your next storm could look like if your foundation is strong. Again, no one's perfect, but if your foundation is strong in God's word, you know who he is, you know what he's spoken, you're starting to apply it to your life, and all of a sudden now the walls of character are being built. Wisdom, integrity. Again, there's not a call to perfection, but there's a marked difference today if you're building walls when you think about who you used to be. And now there's wisdom, integrity, there's character. When the next storm comes, it won't know what it's up against when it comes against you, because there's strength and protection under your feet and all around you. So here's a question I wanna ask you at this point. Are the walls of my life strong enough to endure the pressure of storms? When the next phone call comes out of nowhere, if a diagnosis were to hit, if there was a fracture in your marriage that would come out of nowhere, then the next time there's a battle with mental health that you can't even understand the heaviness of what you're battling, are the walls around you strong enough to endure the pressure of the next storm? How can the walls be strong enough? When we think about building character, wisdom, it's easy for me to say, all right, have wisdom, build character, but how do we do it? It kind of goes back to a little bit of what we talked about in point one. We've got to build daily godly habits. So I want to show you this, and this will, I think, be the part that might be difficult to keep up with in notes. But again, all of this will be in the email tomorrow morning. I want to go through what I believe are important godly habits and why they matter in building a house of our lives that'll withstand the storm. They're simple. Every time you think, well, that's simple, I've heard that before, ask yourself, am I applying it? Number one, prayer. I want you to get this. Why does it matter? Why does prayer actually matter? Daily habit of prayer. Without a daily habit of prayer, people can only pray when they're desperate and then feel distant from God when they need him the most. If we don't have a daily time of prayer with God, if we're not daily connected to him with communion and communication with God, then what we're gonna do is gonna feed the emergency 911 mentality. God, I only go to you when I need a rescue. Again, he doesn't care. He wants you to come to him. But at the same time, he also wants a daily loving relationship with you. A strong prayer life isn't built during the storm. It's always built before it starts. Don't wait for the storm. Start now. Number two, Bible reading. Bible reading. Again, with prayer and Bible reading, there are so many amazing apps that you can download on your phone, on your devices. Many of you guys are going through Manny Arango's Bible Department podcast, which is amazing. There's the Bible in 1 Year app that Nikki and Pippa Gumbel have authored and written. There's so many things to stay daily plugged into. Think about all the things you do daily that you don't even think about now, because at one point you just decided it's important enough. I'm gonna brush my teeth daily, twice a day, daily. I'm going to fix my hair every day, most of us. I'm going to put deodorant on every day. The list is just gonna keep going. But at some point, when you were an adolescent and your dad came in and you weren't putting on deodorant, he said, this is the last day you will ever not put on deodorant because you smell like a mustardy, oniony Sonic burger and you've gotta change this. That's what I think BO smells like. Okay, so you've got to put deodorant on. So there was one day where you didn't have a habit and you started a habit because that day it mattered. So I'm asking you, can today be the day it just matters? Start the daily habits of prayer and Bible reading. Start small and watch what it'll do and how it'll grow in your life. Number three, church attendance and community. Church attendance and community. People who drift from church often drift from accountability, encouragement, and spiritual strength. This is important. No, I'm gonna tell you this as your pastor. I think church attendance is unbelievably important. I don't think when you get to heaven, God is not going to have a list of all your absences of church attendance. It's not about checking boxes. It's not about having perfect church attendance. It's about saying to your family, yourself, your neighbors, those who know you, this is what we just do. Every single Sunday, we gather with the people of God in the house of God. We gather. Why is this so important? Why is getting involved in small groups so important? Because you need accountability, you need encouragement, and you need spiritual strength that is designed by God in the New Testament to come from other people. I don't just attend here because I'm the pastor. I attend here because I need accountability from other people. I need encouragement from other people. I have a group of people in my life. I know I'm the pastor of the church, but I'm also submitted to people in this church. And I've got people that if they notice something in my life, they can take me to coffee and say, Dustin, I've watched a habit develop. I don't know what it might be, but a habit develop. And I wanna challenge you on this lovingly. And there are people that I'm submitted to that they need to keep me accountable in every area of my life. There are people that I have in my life that encourage me, that inspire me to grow spiritually. I wanna ask you, do you have that? Has this gone beyond just attending? Have you gotten involved? Because we need this. Number four, forgiveness and guarding your heart is also a daily habit. It's not just this mystical thing off to the side. This is just like building a discipline of Bible reading. You need to build a discipline of forgiveness. Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this before, but my grandparents on my mom's side were married for 69 years, just shy of 70 years before my grandfather passed away. And when I was talking to him about marriage one day, he just told me, I said, how would you define marriage in a statement? And he said, it's the art of daily forgiveness. The art of daily forgiveness, where you forgive, they forgive. Every single day, you don't let the sun go down on your anger. In marriage, in friendship, in the life of people, you need to learn the art of deflecting bitterness and putting it where it belongs because God asked for it. God says when someone pains you, hurts you, you forgive them, not necessarily by the restoration of the relationship. Sometimes God does call us to that if it's not dangerous and abusive. But first and foremost, God says in order to forgive, we give the hurt, the offense, the pain to God and say, I'm gonna sleep well tonight. I'm gonna have a good night's sleep because I'm giving it to God. Are you guys still with me today? Number five, gratitude and contentment. It's a daily discipline. Remember, we're building the walls of protection in our lives. I wanna just for a second, I said gratitude and contentment, but back to forgiveness. Can you imagine how unprotected you are by the enemy if you're not forgiving? Because Jesus says, I won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. All of a sudden, those walls of protection are coming down. Because Jesus is saying, hey, if I'm willing to forgive everyone for all of their sins on the cross, you can forgive this person of their offense. We need the walls of protection. Now, five, gratitude and contentment. Without the habit of gratitude, people naturally focus on what's missing or wrong, and storms of disappointment or comparison easily shake them. If we don't practice the daily habit of being thankful, having gratitude, saying, God, thank you for everything I do have. If we only have the perspective of what we don't have yet, and we're waiting on God to bless us with what we don't have, you're never gonna see the blessing with what you do have. If we only define blessing on what we don't have yet, so many people do this. They'll think, well, I don't know if I'm blessed. I'm asking God, bless me. And we only think of the things we don't have yet instead of the things we do have. But if we learn the art of gratitude and contentment, then all of a sudden we wake up and we go, God, if I never had another thing, what you've already given me is good enough because you are in my life. And if we can operate from that, how different our lives would be. Lastly on this list, number six, serving others. This is a big one. If serving isn't a regular habit in our lives, in church, in community, in missions, in local outreach, even things outside of the church, in our families, in our friendships, if serving isn't a regular habit, people live self-focused lives. And when the hardship or the storm hits, they lack the resilience that comes from selflessness. I wrote that last line very specifically on purpose. Resilience, think about the most resilient people you know. Think of one or two people right now that you would say, they're resilient. I guarantee you, there's another thing you would not say about that person. You would not say they're selfish. There's something about selflessness. The people that serve others are the most resilient people. And here's why. God made you. Jesus, the call of Jesus in the New Testament is to serve. Everywhere he went with the disciples, it was, I'm gonna teach you how to wash the feet of other people. Really, literally, and metaphorically, I want you to serve people, feed people, take care of people. He was teaching his disciples that leadership is actually servanthood, right? And he's telling all of us to be servants. So if that's what Jesus is constantly saying, he's saying, hey, this is an against the grain calling because nature says, no, serve me. God's saying, no, reverse that, go against the grain and serve others. That's how God created you to be, a servant. And if we're not doing that, then all of a sudden we're collapsing spiritually and internally because we're not living in alignment with who God created us to be. If you wanna be resilient, be selfless, serve others. So without daily disciplines, I want you to think about this, the pressure, just like the weak points of a house, the pressure will eventually find the weak spots without the foundation, without the walls, and it can cause damage in our lives. And lastly, number three, the roof. Or if you're from West Texas, like my dad, you say the roof. Anybody say roof? No, we're from New Mexico. Okay, the roof. Trust God to cover what you can't control. Trust God to cover what you can't control. Have you ever been going through something like really serious? And then you get into a conversation with a really well-meaning Christian and they just say, well, I don't know what to say. I think you're just gonna have to trust God with this one. And then you're standing there going, I never thought of that. Thank you for that profound wisdom. I never thought, just trust God. When I say this point that the roof is about trusting God, I'm not being that well-meaning Christian today. What I'm not saying is, oh, well, just go trust God. What I'm telling you is, just like all the other daily habits, trusting God is a daily decision that grows in reality more and more that we decide to trust him, right? In a marriage, you walk in, and every single day in a marriage, trust is earned more and more and more, right? The more we're in it, deciding to trust. And it's the same way with God. We can trust him because of his perfect track record. No one has a perfect track record. God has a perfect track record of loving us, fulfilling us. Everything he promises comes to pass. And he's saying, trust me on my track record. Trust me based on who I am and who I've always been, to cover what we can't control. So in my last few minutes, I want to be really vulnerable with you. This point, number three, is the one that is hitting me the hardest right between the eyes. Because if I'm being real, and I'm going to ask some of you to be real with me, how many of you say you lean toward wanting control? And maybe some of the people closest to you at some points in your life have said, hey, you might be a little bit of a control freak. Anybody else? Can we be honest? North Campus, Maui? Okay, a lot of hands in here. All right. It's confession time. I'm like that. My wife's out of town, or she would be on the front row pointing at me saying, it's him, it's him, it's him. I like to control. But here's what happens. I have to learn I can't control everything. Actually, I can control very little. But God can cover everything. And that's what he's asking us to trust. Beyond what we can control, can you trust him to cover? The roof represents your trust in God's power, protection, and peace. He is the covering. Stormproofing your life means understanding I do my part, but only God can ultimately cover me. Psalm 91, 1 through 2, I love this passage. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I what? Trust. This is a declaration from King David in a time that was hard to trust God, because this is a prayer saying, I need a fortress right now. I need to be in the shadow of the Almighty right now. And at the very end of the statement, he says, in God, I will choose to trust you. And that's where we are today. We've got to say, God, I know there's some things swirling around in my life, some heavy things, some broken things, but God, I need to rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I need to find refuge in you. You are my shelter and you are my covering. I want to ask this question for us to ponder with this point. I want you to ask yourself this. Am I living covered under God's peace or exposed by my own worry and control? Like I said, I'm naturally a worrier, naturally. By nature, like if Mandy was here, by nature, I think she has the supernatural gift of faith, like truly from the Holy Spirit. When something bad's going on, it's almost comical. When something bad happens, there's like an immediate disaster, something's going on. We get that call. Mandy goes, all right, God's got this. I'm gonna go pray. That's her natural reaction. And you're like, shouldn't that be the natural reaction of every pastor? Well, listen to my natural reaction. If I'm being honest, my natural reaction is, I know I need to go pray about this. I know that when I pray about this, I'm gonna see this differently. But my natural reaction is to go, this is gonna be bad. This is gonna be bad. This is gonna be bad. Mandy, how can you have faith? And she's like, God is good. I know he's good, but this is bad. That's what I do. And then through discipline, that's why I'm opening up and sharing this with you. Through discipline, I have to overcome nature with who I know God to be in the supernatural. And then I have to go, okay, I naturally want to worry and I don't see a way out of this one. This one's going to be hard. But then I have to go pray and go, God, give me the perspective that you see in this situation. Give me a faith I cannot comprehend. I cannot control the outcome on this. I can do what I can do, God, but I need you to be the covering, because I don't want to be exposed in this storm with all the things that are happening. I need my soul to be preserved. When it comes to a storm, metaphorically and really, you can't control the rain, you can't control the storm, but you can choose to stay under the covering. I want to show you this with an illustration real quick, just with an umbrella. I know we don't get to use these very much in New Mexico, but you do in Maui. When you think about an umbrella, you know, you could be coming out of a restaurant, and there's a torrential downpour. I've never heard people, if there's a group of people leaving a restaurant saying, hey, get your umbrella, put up the umbrella, because when we put up the umbrella, the storm will stop. If you put the covering up, The storm will stop. I've never heard anybody say that because it's not true. No one ever thinks they can stop the storm. They only do what they can do with the resources they have. The resource we have isn't to control out there, is to control how much I'm impacted while the storm is raging. You with me on this? And when it comes to God being our covering, it's not a matter of saying, God, I need to control this. If I do all these things, I think I can end the storm. God's saying, I don't think you can end the storm, but he's still the Lord of the storm. But he says, but I will be your covering so the storm does not affect your soul. We can walk through the storm. Yeah, I think we can clap to that. We can walk through the storm dry where our souls are not tarnished. I've seen so many people, believers, and this is how they walk through life. They'll hold on and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I have a Bible, and I go to church every once in a while. I'm a Christian, and they're a Christian. But this is how they walk through storms. The storm is raging, and they're walking around drenched and impacted by the hail, the wind, the rain, and they're walking around. Can you imagine what it would look like to someone from the outside, watching someone in a rainstorm, holding an umbrella, walking around like this? You would walk up to them and say, do you even know how this works? Put the covering over your head and you won't be affected in the storm. And it comes with this. I know storms happen. I know there's disease. I know that people can get a diagnosis. I'm not saying we get to escape every aspect of the storm because the storm is still raging. But what I am saying is my soul and my spirit can be preserved. I can go through a storm without my spirit being tarnished, without bitterness raging in my heart toward other people and even God. I can go through a storm growing stronger and not weaker if I trust God to be my covering. So the next time you look out the window of your life and a storm is on the horizon, just say, I'm gonna have God be the covering of my life. And even if I feel some of the effects, if there's one thing I'm going to preserve, it's my soul. And my heart will stand firm with God, and I will not experience all of the raging effects of the storm. Jesus said in Matthew 7:25, talking about that same story with the two houses being built on the rock and sand, it says, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house on the rock, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. That's how I want to live life. I want that to be my anthem. I want my anthem to be, the storm is raging, the wind is coming against my family, I can feel the effects of the wind, I know the storm is here, my family, my kids, my finances, whatever your storm might be, I want to walk through life when those storms hit me saying, I know the storm is there, but the house stood. Because we storm-proofed our life. We have the right foundation. We've built the walls of protection, and we've declared to God, I trust you to be my covering. Man, can we just give God a big hand clap today and say thank you for everything you've done in our lives? You know, we can celebrate even in a storm, before the storm comes, even in the storm, declaring that he's good. I wanna pray with you today, whatever campus you're at right now, I wanna just pray for those who are going through storms and even those who aren't, but that we would be prepared. Again, the storms are still gonna come, but he is the good God with you in every situation. Pray with me today. Father, we just thank you so much for today and what we've learned from your word. God, you are good. And even when these storms are raging and the storms are around us in our lives and our lives are impacted by them, today, we are declaring, even if we haven't done it before, we're gonna start today. We're gonna build the right foundation of hearing the word and putting it into practice. We're gonna build the walls of protection of character, integrity, using godly wisdom, these daily habits where we can build our character and become more of the character that you display in your word, God. And we're gonna build these walls, we're gonna build the foundation, and also we're gonna trust the covering. God, today, even if it doesn't feel like it in my emotions, I don't want to declare this. God, in my soul and in my spirit today, I'm just gonna say, based on your track record, God, I trust you. I know that you love me, God. Even when it doesn't feel like it because of circumstances, my circumstances, do not dictate your character. You love me, you are with me, and I trust you. Be my anchor. Give me peace and strength in the storm. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.